Tom Kreiner is bringing our message today on March 23rd, 2025, from 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 through 17. The title is God Brings a Great Victory.
4 weeks ago today, as I was studying through 1 Samuel and preaching through that in chapter 4, I looked ahead to chapter 7, and that night I saw where what happened to the children of Israel in chapter 4, at a place called Ebenezer, the Lord was going to have something else happen to them in chapter 7, at a place called Ebenezer. And it was going to be a great victory, and God was going to restore everything that had happened to them because of their sin and disobedience. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So in that message, I talked about the judgment of God on the house of Eli, and I told you guys that judgment of the Lord came that day because of his mercy. It's the mercy of God that brings his judgment. Any father that loves his son and has mercy on his son is going to discipline his son so that his son can grow up to become a profitable person and be of value to himself as well as to the Lord. So judgment of the Lord came that day because of his mercy. Mercy brings judgment because judgment brings repentance. And repentance brings restoration. Repentance restores the relationship between a holy God and a sinful man. So 20 years from what we're preaching today in chapter 7, 20 years when I was preaching that in chapter 4, the repentant Israel is given this great victory that we're going to talk about today. And it says here that all that was lost through sin in the battle that happened in chapter 4 will be restored to Israel in a great victory in the same place called Ebenezer because Israel repented of their sins and returned to God with all their hearts. And Alexander McLaren has a statement here. Happy are they who at last conquer where they once failed, and in retrospect can say, that means looking back, they can say, hitherto the Lord helped. The Lord helped both in the defeat and by the victory for which the defeat prepared the way. Sometimes, folks, we have defeats in our lives, and they're not always caused by our own mistakes. Sometimes those defeats can just be a test from the Lord to see what we're going to do with that. But in this case, the defeat brought about this great victory. And this future victory is made possible by the defeat that the Lord had. So our message today is the Lord brings a great victory. And as we see here, it was the Lord that did it. It wasn't anything on the Israelites' part. So if you would rise, we're going to read this section of Scripture out of chapter 7 of 1 Samuel. We're going to read verses 3 through 17. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, if you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherah from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only. Verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 7. Then Samuel said, gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they all gathered at Mizpah. And they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now, when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. And he answered him audibly. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel, but the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion or panic, and they were defeated before Israel. Verse 11, and the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin, and he called it Ebenezer. For he said, till now the Lord has helped us. So the Philistines were subdued and did not enter the territory of Israel again. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities of the Philistines that they had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath. And Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, to Gilgal, to Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places, and then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there, and there also he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we just ask you, make our hearts like the hearts of Israel. Give us a desire, Lord, to return to you with all of our heart. Help us, Lord, to put away everything that has worked its way into our lives, that is taking our devotion and our love. And help us to remove those things and truly serve you and serve you only. Speak through your word, Lord, I pray this morning to my heart and to everyone here. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so in chapter 6, the Ark of the Covenant comes back into Israel to Beth Shemesh. The people of Beth Shemesh receive the Ark, but they treat it with disrespect. And the Lord struck them. 50,000 plus died because they disrespected the ark. They looked into it. And so they called for the men that lived at Kirjath Jearim to come down and to take the ark to where they lived, because they said, the Lord has struck us with a mighty blow. They didn't know what to do with the Lord. They weren't ready for the holy God of Israel to come back. And so the men of Kirjath Jearim came and took it, and they brought it back with them, and they found a man named Abinadab, and they consecrated his son Eleazar, and they just put the ark in his house and consecrated Eleazar just to take care of it. He wasn't supposed to do any priestly stuff. He was just to take care of it and protect it, and that's what it happened. And the Bible says that that ark remained at that house for 20 years. And then it says in verse 2, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. They lamented after the Lord. It took them 20 years of not having God, of being oppressed by the Philistines, by living away from God. They began again to have a desire to know God. Something was happening. Israel is lamenting after the Lord. The mind and the hearts of the people are beginning to desire a relationship with the Lord again. Lost blessings are precious, and God was more prized when withdrawn. Again in verse 2 it says, and the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. So to my brothers and sisters here this morning, how's your relationship with the Lord? You know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you walking in the light this morning with the Lord? Or possibly have you drifted away like these folks had in here in this story? Other things have come in and pushed God out of the place where he used to be in your life. Are you like the Israelites? Are you facing defeat? Are you tired of living that way? So if you're ready to turn back to the Lord, what we're going to see today is how a person gets back in right relationship with God. How you do it. So we're going to see how they did it, and I think it's going to be something that would be beneficial to us as well. So we have four main points we're going to go through here. The first point is the preparation for victory comes through repentance and return. That's always the way back to God, folks. And the way back to God is repentance and return. So it says in verse 3, and Samuel said to the house of Israel, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only. Samuel evidently had been traveling throughout the nation of Israel, and he was seeing this change in the people. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret. Samuel tells all the house of Israel what they must do if they are serious about returning to the Lord. If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you and serve him only. So the first thing Samuel tells Israel, and the first thing God is telling us, to return to the Lord, it must be with all of our heart. It's got to be with all the heart. Our worship of God must be exclusive. Our God is a jealous God. In Exodus 20, he said, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God must have our whole heart. The worship of God is exclusive, just like true love is exclusive. True love, its very nature, is indivisible. If given to two, it's accepted by neither. We cannot love God and love the things of the world. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Then Samuel, in verse 3, Samuel gives an if-then statement. If-then. If you're returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and Ashtoreth from among you and serve him only. That applies to us too. If we're going to serve the Lord, we've got to put away the things that have come between us and him. The people are to demonstrate that their desire to return to the Lord is true by their actions. Samuel is asking them, will they really stop worshiping these foreign gods and serve God only? And the same applies to us. It's so easy to allow other things to come in to our lives and push God out. Now, the reason in here that Samuel separates out foreign gods from Ashtoreth, instead of just lumping them all together, get this. Through archaeology, they've found that in Israel, in some areas in Israel, that the worship of Yahweh included the recognition of a female divine companion. So not only were they worshiping other gods. They had corrupted their own worship of Yahweh by allowing a female divine companion to get mixed in with what they were worshiping, with God, the Father. And when we, before you think that's really strange, if you know anything about Mormonism, Mormons believe in and worship Heavenly Mother, the mother of all spirits, and the wife of God the Father. So that's an old trick from the devil, guys. That's just an old trick. So they were supposed to clean up their worship of Yahweh and make it like it was supposed to be pure, as well as getting rid of all the other gods. Who you worship and how you worship matters to God. When Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, and she was asking, do we worship on this mountain or do we worship on that mountain? Jesus told her, said, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in truth and in spirit. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. Now, God the Father has made a way for all of us to worship Him in truth and in spirit, and that way is through Jesus Christ, His Son. And it is the only way, folks. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. Now, if you've never trusted the Lord, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted the Lord as your Savior, you need to do that this morning. We'll have a time of response later. And if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Him this morning. And I'll speak about that in our response time. Samuel is telling Israel and us, if repentance is true, then it must encompass the whole heart. And if we are to have His strength infused for victory, we must cast away our idols and come back to Him with all of our hearts. To yield ourselves wholly to God is the secret of strength. To yield ourselves wholly to God, to Him only, is the secret of our strength. And then Samuel concludes verse 3 with the blessing or the promise, He will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. The blessing of the covenant with God was deliverance from their enemies. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7, the Lord said, if you keep my covenant, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. And that's what's going to happen today. And they shall come out against you one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways. They're just going to, when the Lord comes out. Now, in verse 4, we're talking about this preparation for victory in repentance and return. So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth, and they served the Lord only. The people responded. They'd never done that before. All those other times, they wouldn't respond. Today, and this time, they respond. The people are serious, and they demonstrate it by putting away the Baals and the Ashtoreth, and they serve God exclusively, and Samuel witnesses that on their part. So now Samuel can move to his next step. Once you have the people beginning to turn back to the Lord, he can now go to verse 5. Samuel says, gather all of the people. All of Israel needs to gather at Mizpah. And I will pray to the Lord for you. Okay? He's fixing to take the man of God, is going to meet with all the people of God. Now that they've demonstrated a willingness to turn, he's going to bring them all together. So they gathered at Mizpah, and while they're at Mizpah, they drew water. And they poured it out before the Lord and fasted all that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. So Samuel calls for this solemn national assembly at Mizpah, which was located on a conspicuous hill 5 miles north of Jerusalem. During the time of the judges, Mizpah was a central location for tribal convocations. So these people knew about this place and they knew the significance of it. Now, the gathering at Mizpah signifies a collective return to God by national Israel. And while at Mizpah, Samuel calls all the people to prayer, intercessory prayer, to fasting, and to confession of sin. this drawing out of water and pouring it out. This was not a normal sacrificial offering. It was not something that was normally done. But what it signified was the water was a precious resource, and pouring it out signified a sacrificial offering and a plea for cleansing. Also in Lamentations chapter 2, verse 19, the pouring out of water before the Lord reflects a heart poured out in contrition. Lamentations 2:19 says, where the people were urged to pour out their hearts like water before the Lord. This was accompanied by fasting. The fasting was a physical expression of humility and dependence on God. After accompanying prayer and confession, the Israelites were demonstrating their earnestness in seeking reconciliation with God. These people were serious. We've got to be serious with the Lord. We have to be serious when it comes to turning back to the Lord, to true repentance and confession. We have to be serious. And look what happens when they all get together and they begin pouring out this water. They begin seeking the Lord. They begin fasting and praying. Look what comes. We have sinned. Israel confesses, we have sinned. The surest way to the true victory in our lives. The true victory in our lives is the conquest of sin in our lives. That's the true victory in our lives. The fastest way to get there is confessing it to the Lord. The longer we go around the outside and talk about everything else, the longer it takes. What it takes is a true confession. The act of confession is consistent with the biblical principles that repentance and confession will lead to forgiveness and restoration. 1 John 1:9 says that. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here this morning and you have unconfessed sin in your heart and life, you need to confess that to the Lord, just like 1 John says. And the Lord will forgive you, and He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He'll restore you. At the end of verse 6, Samuel judged the people of Mizpah. He judged the people at Mizpah. Samuel the prophet and judge is playing his pivotal role in leading Israel back to God. Really, folks, Samuel's career, his ministry, whatever you want to call it, it started on this day. This is the day his ministry truly started. In his role here, it's reminiscent of what happened during the time of the judges, when a judge would rise, would take the oppression of Israel, would lead them to faithfulness in God, and then God would restore them. So Samuel was Israel's high priest, prophet, and judge. Samuel, his leadership here foreshadows the future king that was coming, which was Jesus Christ, our ultimate judge. Jesus is our high priest. He is our prophet. He's our judge. And He is our rescuer. John 3:35-36. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into His hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God remains on Him. Jesus came to this earth to rescue us from the punishment and the wrath that our sin deserves. Now, verse 7. The Philistines hear about the people of Israel have gathered at Mizpah. These lords of the Philistines, they hear about this, and they send a pretty large army, I would imagine, because if all the nation of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, it would have been a large group. And the scouts would have already reported back how big that group was. And so I would say all of Philistia comes out and they're marching toward Mizpah to attack the Israelites. And it says here, when they heard, the people of Israel heard about, they were afraid of the Philistines. You remember, just 20 years before that, there would have been men there who had watched and been a part of the battle that had happened in chapter 4, just 20 years earlier, where 34,000 of their brothers were slaughtered and the ark was lost. So the last thing in their minds is a great defeat. You can imagine the fear they had of that being repeated. And so the people said to Samuel in verse 8, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." The people asked Samuel to cry out to the Lord our God. This is the same language that was used throughout the book of the Judges when the people would ask the judge to cry out to the Lord for them. But you notice how they say, "our God." When they say, "our God," when you get right with the Lord, he becomes your God. See, they're now right with the Lord. They're not talking about the Lord or a God or take him away. They're talking about pray for us to the Lord our God. They're right with God. And Paul said, "My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." When the Lord, when you're right with the Lord, he becomes my God, our God. And that's what you see here. These people are right with God now. Repentance brings restoration. Repentance restores the relationship between God and a sinful man. Victory. Point number two, the victory. So Samuel took a nursing lamb, offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord, and Samuel cried out to the Lord God for Israel, and the Lord answered him. The reason why I read Psalms 99 this morning was because it said that Moses and Aaron and Samuel all spoke to the Lord and he answered them. The Lord answered Samuel here. And he's going to answer him audibly. There's going to be no guesswork as to whether or not the Lord answers. So Samuel offers up this burnt offering, and as the Philistines drew near to attack, the Lord thunders with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and throws them into such a confusion or a panic that they are defeated before Israel. The Lord answered Samuel out loud. Now, it's very interesting. If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 10, in Hannah's prayer, she says, "The adversaries of the Lord will be broken to pieces. Against them, he will thunder in heaven." Isn't that cool? That's so cool. Faithfulness of God. Now, in the Near East, the people in this that lived in during this time, very superstitious folks, every battle for them was fought on two planes. You had the terrestrial plane, the human plane, but you also had the atmospheric plane or the meteorological plane. And anything that happened on the meteorological side is immediately seen as an act by deity, because deity controls the atmospheric side. Man works the down here. Well, can you imagine what they thought? If that's how you believe, all of a sudden you have this thunder come, and I'm talking it's a thunder from God. So it's not just an Oklahoma thunder, folks. This is a thundering from the Lord. It threw them into such a panic. The Bible says they panicked. They were running into each other, trying to get away, dropping their weapons, running for their lives. Now, as they're running away, dropping their weapons, Israel sees them fleeing. And what do you think they would do? What happens when a dog starts running? What's the other dogs do? They start chasing. They chased them, the Bible says, and slew them and killed them and struck them all the way back to Beth-Kar. This was a victory of the Lord. The Lord brought this about. Now, the thankful commemoration of the victory is point three. the thankful commemoration of the victory. And this is the Ebenezer part that we talked about a month ago. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shin, and he called its name Ebenezer, for he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." What a significant moment in Israel's history. A great victory has been given to Israel by the Lord. Samuel wants everyone to know about it. He wants them to remember it. So he sets up a stone monument where everyone can see it from Mizpah. I'm sure he had to have some help, because I'm thinking this was a mighty big piece of rock. Samuel called the stone Ebenezer, which means stone of help. Stone of help, because the Lord helped us. And this stone was a remembrance stone. It was to look back at the past, at what God had done for them in the past. It was a stone of recognition, a stone for the present, what God had done for them that day, and it was a stone of revelation, a stone for the future. Till now, the Lord has helped us. It was to tell the people, when they looked at that stone, as long as we obey God, follow Him, worship Him only, what happened today will continue to happen for us. And we'll have a victory after victory after victory. Now, the Lord is referred to as a stone, the stone of Israel in Genesis 49:24, and also in Isaiah 28:16, Isaiah said, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew 21:42, "Have you not read the scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." That's in the scriptures. That's in Psalms 118:22-23. And then, after Jesus' death and burial, resurrection, and ascension, after Peter and John heal the man who's a lame beggar there at the temple and get arrested for it, Peter's preaching to the Sanhedrin, and he says, "Jesus is the stone that you rejected, you builders, which has become the cornerstone, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The Ebenezer stone is for us today as well, because in Philippians 1:6, Paul said, "I am sure of this, that he who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Jesus is our stone of help. And in Jude verse 24, he says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory," how? "With great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, now and forevermore." Jesus is our Ebenezer stone. Now to our last point as we bring it to a close. Point number 4, God brings restoration and peace. So verse 13 says, "The Philistines were subdued, and they did not again enter the territory of Israel." They never came back, folks. After that great slaughter, they never stuck their head back in any Israeli territory. And it says here, "And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel." And they knew what that being the hand of the Lord was against them. It was so bad for them when the hand of the Lord was against them that they only allowed the ark to stay in the country for 7 months, and they finally said, "Get that thing out of here before it kills us all." They knew what the hand of the Lord was. Verse 14, "The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel," all that they had lost because of their sin, All that we lose when we go away from God. Verse 14 says it was restored to Israel. From Ekron to Gath. And Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. When God begins to operate in your life, peace follows. However God wants to make that happen. I'm sure for the Amorites, once they saw what happened to the Philistines, they were like, you know, I think we'll make peace with them. I'd rather not have that happen to us. See, that's how the Lord operated for them. So I want to remind you that the name Ebenezer connects us back to 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1, some 20 years earlier, where Israel suffered this great defeat at the hands of the Philistines. 34,000 men killed and the ark was captured. All that was lost through the sin in that battle on that day was restored to Israel in this great victory. At this very place called Ebenezer, all because Israel repented of their sins and returned to God with all their hearts. Repentance brings restoration.